we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The idea certainly permeates so much of Scripture. From the very beginning, from creation, we have Adam and Eve given all the gift of creation as stewards. They are there to exercise a human dominion that is given to them by God over all of creation, everything that there is in the universe, everything that God had spoken into existence and formed, he formed for them to be keepers of. Now, that has not changed, although what has changed significantly is the gifts still come from God. We, the stewards, changed radically by our fall into sin. So how does the Christian church deal with stewardship? We cannot go back to the pristine pre-fall state and say we're just going to be like Adam and Eve. That awaits the resurrection, when again, we'll be stewards of a new creation. What about the meantime? We're going to be talking about some myths of Christian stewardship. Pastor Heath Curtis joins us on this Monday afternoon. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, and he's coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
We want to take a distinctly Lutheran approach to this thing, because there's a lot of stuff out there about Christian stewardship that doesn't bear the hallmarks of anything remotely Lutheran. But let's deal with one of the kind of common Lutheran myths regarding stewardship, and that is, look, Lutherans are above all people of the gospel, and stewardship is law, so we don't have anything to say about it or any concern about it.
Yeah, I think that is especially a Lutheran myth of recent times, say the second half of the 20th century down to today. This kind of downplaying of the third use of the law and sanctification. So just, you know, a reminder that the law has three uses. It's a curb. We want the law to keep people from committing outward sin. We want laws against theft, because we don't want people to break into our garages and steal our lawnmowers. So we're very glad that there's that use of the law. That use, as St. Paul says in Timothy, is really, you know, ideally not for Christians. You know, we don't need that, right? I mean, we know that we want to live a godly life out of thanksgiving for what God has done for us in Christ. So, but if we are having a bad day, the old Adam is really rising up within us, it's good that there are laws against theft, against murder, against assault, because that helps keep outward sin under control so that civil society can exist. Second, the big use of the law accuses us of our sin. It's a mirror. It shows us that we do not live up to God's standard. That's so important because it lets us know where we stand with God. What separates us from the animals is that we have the ability to commune with God, to grow toward him in holiness, to live in his kingdom in ultimate holiness on the last day. But to get there, we've got to know right now that we don't have that holiness by our own power, that we cannot claw our way into God's kingdom. And the law is always performing this use. The law is always showing us our sin. The law always demonstrates to us that we don't measure up. But there's a third use of the law, and that is as a rule or a guide or a path for Christians to follow in the new Christian life. Because in baptism, the Holy Spirit comes to us, and he changes us. Lutherans believe in baptismal regeneration, that in baptism, we're born again into God's kingdom, and that we are changed. You can hear this sometimes in, you know, Lutherans can get a little lazy in the precision with which they talk about issues of justification. So, for example, you've probably heard, I think I've probably said in passing, I've been imprecise in this, you've heard Lutherans say that humankind, we don't have free will. We are not able to do good on our own. You know, we don't have free will. That's true, but it's not all the truth. Because in baptism, the Holy Spirit interacts with us. He gives us new desires. Our confessions say that after baptism, the Holy Spirit is working with us. He's implanting the new Christ in us, that our will is freed by the operation of the Holy Spirit after baptism. Now, it says it's freed in great weakness. It says that we're going to stumble, we're going to struggle against the old Adam who's still with us. But, you know, this is something that, again, in kind of late 20th century Lutheranism, there are many voices that we have time to go into today who are kind of arguing against this vision of sanctification, baptismal regeneration, and the law of God as a guide for life. It's very ironic because in the most basic Lutheran document, the Small Catechism, if you turn to the end of that, you find the Table of Duties. And it's, Luther just lists out various Bible passages that apply to various vocations, and Luther has no problem listing Bible passages that tell you how to live your life, that lay down a rule and a guide for how you live your life. And he doesn't mean that as merely second use of the law. Luther doesn't use the Table of Duties, or in Luther's preaching, he doesn't use the law merely to show us our sin. He shows us our sin, then he shows us Christ, then he reminds us that we're baptized into Christ, that we're to be walking with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, at first in great weakness, but we hope growing each day in our faith, in our trust in the Lord, from which comes a godly life.
Let's deal with one of the myths, kind of the nuts and bolts myths of biblical stewardship. And the first one is, it's all about money.
Yeah, if that were so, then you know, we preachers really wouldn't be much better than the televangelists. You know, if the Christian church is all about just a transferal of wealth from the laity to the clergy, or from individual congregations to, you know, fat cat church bureaucrats who want to fly around on golden jets, then we'd be no better than Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn and all the rest. So no, it better not be about money. But there's a second myth that is that's kind of paired with that, that's it's not about money at all. You know, our stewardship is, you know, everything else but money. You know, it'd be too crass for God to talk to me about my wallet. It would be too crass for the preacher to insist that Christians have a fiscal responsibility and duty to the body of Christ, to the church, and so forth. So as with most things in theology, there's a middle path to sail. My assistant pastor is finishing his doctorate at SLU, and he said one of his professors had a great line that he uses with his students in an intro to Christianity, and it's that, you know, any religion that doesn't tell you what to do with your wallet and with your sex life probably isn't much of a worldview, probably isn't much of a religion. You know, we constantly want to carve out areas of our life where, you know, God's word need not apply. We get to do our own thing. So, of course, the Bible tells Christians how to live in terms of their fiscal life, in terms of where, you know, Jesus says, where you put your treasure, there your heart's going to be also. That first Bible passage that Luther quotes in the Table of Duties, what hearers owe their pastor, he quotes 1 Corinthians 9:14, so also the Lord has ordained that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living from the gospel. And he goes on to quote, Galatians 6, God is not mocked, don't be fooled. The one who is taught must share all good things with the teacher. So there's an order to the church's life, and as any community of people, well, we have needs that need to be met through the resources which God has given us, and of course the Bible gives us guidelines for that. And equally, of course, there's so much more to the Christian life. So it's definitely a both and.
What about the idea that, if this is kind of from the preaching approach to this, if the pastor preaches law and gospel sermons, which is a very good thing, then there's no need for him to preach or teach regarding Christian stewardship?
Yeah, I think that comes from that same, mid to late 20th century teaching, that verges on the antinomian among Lutherans and how we live our life practically. It's taking a biblical idea, and it's a good biblical idea, a good tree bears good fruit, right? So Christians are going to want to do good works. So if I make Christians, and I know as a Lutheran that Christians are made by the power of the Holy Ghost, who convicts their heart through the word of the law, who brings them to faith by the word of the gospel, that if I do that, I'm going to make Christians who are going to want to do good works. And one good work among the many good works we're called to do is to support the ministry of Christ's church so that the word of God can reach all people, bring in all God's elect, and lead us into the kingdom. That's true. But it's also true, as St. Paul says, that the old Adam is still with us, that we've got to battle him, that we have to try to put on the new man. We have to try to put sin to death. And it's true that Christians, while they're born again in baptism, while they receive new desires from the Holy Spirit in baptism, what we don't receive there is perfect information. We need to be instructed in what God's Word says, how we are to live in more specifics than just, St. Augustine has this great quip that you can boil down the Christian life after baptism to love God and then do whatever you want. Because, of course, if you love God perfectly, then whatever you want will be in accord with what God wants, because you'll be loving God, your heart will be attuned to His. That's how you're going to be in heaven. In heaven, the law won't be a burden. The law won't be something difficult. The law will simply be what you want. You will want God's will, which is all the law is. So that's a great quip that Augustine has, that at once demonstrates to us the content of sanctification, the content of a holy life, and the difficulty we have being still in the flesh, that we need a lot more work, the Holy Spirit working on us through His Word, and giving us information so that we can know, oh, that is a sin to be avoided. Oh, this is a good work to do. And that also keeps us away from another problem that Luther fought in the Reformation, and that's the problem of invented good works. So Luther had to fight against monasticism, this whole system of invented good works, one of which was, that the main one was, that the best way to live a godly Christian life would be to leave the world and to go to a monastery and to pray and to work hard in that monastery, but to actually leave your community, leave civil society and retreat to this monastery. Luther began to see that as an invented work. He said, that's not in the Scriptures. What the Scriptures tell us to do, well, the table of duties. This is what pastors and bishops owe the people. This is what the people owe the pastors and bishops. This is what husbands owe wives, and wives owe husbands, and parents owe children, and children owe parents. These vocations, these callings from God, are where we live out a godly life, where God gives us good works to do, and where He is using the world all around us to train us, to turn us into the people that He wants us to be. Is that process of sanctification going to be perfect in this life? Never. Are we ever going to outgrow the need for repentance and forgiveness in Christ? Never. But if we preach the gospel in such a way that we make it sound like the Christian life is nothing but believing in Jesus full stop, well, then we've really just cut off a big part of the message of the New Testament. Again, as Luther shows so clearly, not only in the Table of Duties, but in the section on baptism.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about some myths regarding Christian stewardship on this Monday, July the 18th. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, and coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Stay tuned.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission at ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about stewardship myths. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, tell us about the More Than Giving Conference next month in Springfield, Illinois. It's sponsored by Doxology and the LCMS Office of National Mission.
Todd, this is an awesome partnership we have with Doxology. Your listeners, I'm sure, know them from all the work that they do with pastors and congregations, developing pastoral leadership in the post-seminary years, and they approached us for their Insight conferences, which are really focused one-day conferences, one full day with a night in between, and they're meant for pastors and laity. We have some sessions just for pastors, some for laity, some for both, so we really keep people busy basically from a noon to noon, and this is going to be in Springfield, Illinois, on the topic of stewardship and more than giving. It's going to be August 19 to 20. So if your listeners are within, you know, a solid morning's drive from Springfield, Illinois, can't encourage them enough to sign up. I'll be there. The assistant coordinator for stewardship, Pastor Nathan Metter, will be there. The worship at Doxology conferences is great. So you get to meet people from other Lutheran churches. We'll do a lot of planning for stewardship, learning biblical doctrine, practical stuff for how to have a healthy stewardship life in a godly, biblical, Lutheran way in your congregation. So can't encourage people enough to come, and they can check more out at doxology.us.
You can find out more about the More Than Giving Conference August the 19th and 20th in Springfield, Illinois at doxology.us. It's open to pastors, church administrators, stewardship board members, and interested laity. doxology.us. Another myth is that the pastor, he's got a lot to worry about, but it's not his job to be concerned about the church's budget.
Yeah, I think especially as a young pastor, I very much thought that, I mean, no pastor gets into this line of work because, you know, we really want to raise funds for nonprofit organizations. You know, that's not, none of us do that. We get into this because we love the Word of God, and we want the people of God to have that Word so they can be blessed. We want to bring Christ to people and people to Christ, and that's what excites us. We want to talk theology. We want to baptize babies. We want to lead people through marriage counseling. We want to go take communion to the shut-ins, preach on Sunday morning. All those things are what pastors want to be about. In the same way, you know, the people of the church, they want to be about learning the Word of God, coming to worship, praising God with their voices. Nobody likes to think about the brass tacks of well, how are we going to make all this happen? Nobody likes to think about, I suppose there are a select few people who just love spreadsheets and budgets and all that jazz. But God's Word is so clear, again, as Luther lays it out in the Table of Duties in the Small Catechism, you know, it's everybody's job to support the work of God's church in bringing that Word to people. And the pastor, as the God-given leader of the congregation, you know, he's got to be in tune with this. Now, how in tune, how in touch, how much leadership a pastor gives to specific, you know, day-to-day business operations in a church really depends on the church, and in a lot of ways, the size and context of the church. I serve I have an interesting case in that I serve two parishes. We're 2.5 miles apart as the crow flies, and they couldn't be more different in how they handle a lot of these practical decisions. In one church, I'm next to, I'm almost not involved in the budget directly at all. In another parish I serve, you know, it's my job to make up the draft budget based on last year's budget. You know, so, and everything in between and everything different, and big congregations with a business manager are going to be a completely different ball of wax. But no matter what it is, the pastor has to be in touch with, you know, where's the congregation headed? Is this an issue? Because it is an issue of teaching the Word of God. If I've got a strong congregation in so many aspects, the people of God are coming to hear the Word, and you know, Sunday school is going as it's supposed to be going, and the people are excited about these things of God, and yet it seems that we don't have the resources we need to meet the needs of our community, the needs of our church. That may be a teaching problem. You know, the pastor has to know that. So it's definitely not one size fits all. But precisely because it's not one size fits all, that's why it's a myth to say it's just not the pastor's job to have anything to do with the budget. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, it's the pastor's job to preach the whole Word of God. The Word of God has a lot to say about how Christians should give and how much Christians should give and what a faithful life of generosity looks like. And then, you know, based on local circumstances, a pastor, let's put it this way, the administrative responsibilities of a pastor vary greatly, but every pastor needs to be connected to preaching the whole counsel of God.
Finally, deal with this one with about a minute or so, and that is, look, the bottom line is, I've walked into these churches, Lutherans are no different than others, all they really care about is my money.
Yeah, I struggle with that one. It's one that I get when I'm out and about in the community. In fact, I got that a response a couple days ago. I have a standing appointment with some guys in town to watch Jeopardy on Wednesdays up at a bar. And a new guy was there, and you know, he made that comment, you know, that a buddy of his went to my church. He didn't know he did. He said, well, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that guy goes to your church. But I guess, you know, as long as you put something in the plate, I guess you're welcome. And I said, you know, it doesn't work that way. Really don't care if you put anything in the plate. by the same token, if, you know, I want you to come and hear the Word of God, that's what we're interested in. We're interested in you. But again, now we're back to that comment from that professor that my assistant pastor knows, but what kind of God wouldn't tell you how to live your whole life? I mean, if we posit that there is a God who knows everything, we assume that he will know how to tell us to live our life in every aspect of life, including financially. So, of course, the church is concerned that you live a godly life in every aspect, especially when it comes to money and wealth, which Jesus warns us can be a snare in this world, and which Jesus clearly tells us, you know, where your treasure goes, you know, there your heart will be also.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to look forward to Sunday morning talking with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the Lord's Prayer. We'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Job as well. That's a difficult one to get to. Job is often misunderstood. How do you make an often misunderstood book of the Bible understandable to Sunday school children? We'll answer that question tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana, Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota, Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.